Let's bring in Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers. So, Tim, earlier in the program, Derek and I were talking about X factors, non-quarterback and coach addition. So not Cam Ward, not Brian Callahan, not anybody on Callahan's coaching staff. If I were to ask you the same question on who the Titans' X factor will be next season, outside of quarterback and coach, who would you choose?
Oh, wow. And what was D-Mace just talking about? D-Mace talking about inside linebacker? Was that D-Mace's choice?
No. That we were just talking. One of the texters brought up their choice would be the linebacker position, because we haven't gotten as much out of the linebacker position at least the last year and a half, 2 years.
Derek's choice
was the second guy, like the second receiver. Whoever that second receiver is, whether it's Vance Jefferson, whether it's Io Manor, whether it's Treylon Burks, that second receiver is going to be an X factor for me, because once teams start keying on Calvin Ridley, and you know, as a quarterback, once they start keying on your first guy, if you don't have a second guy, man, it becomes very frustrating.
I think I would say the run game. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, like, if you're saying play like the running back position, you say it, like, when you think about, like, I was talking, you know, earlier today about the Texans, and the conversation was revolving around C.J. Stroud, how to get him better. You go back to his rookie year when he played well, they ran the ball really well. Like, I think, like, you know, for the Titans to make a jump, and ultimately, like, we all know Cam Ward would be the one that's getting all the credit for it. But, like, for them to make a jump, yes, he would have to play well. But I think it would have to be a running back that steps up and plays really well. You know, is a 1,000-yard rusher, like that type of stuff.
My choice, Tim, was Lloyd Cushenberry, because he's coming off an Achilles tear. Who knows when he'll be ready to play, but you know the importance of developing chemistry with your starting center, especially as a young quarterback. So Cushenberry was my choice. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good one. You know, a lot of times when you think about great quarterbacks, like, you immediately start talking about their centers, right? Like, it was, mm-hmm. you know, like Peyton Manning and Jeff Saturday.
Yes.
You know, it was like that was kind of how it went. It was, you may say, probably when you were in Baltimore, it was probably Matt Burke and, you know, and those guys.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, and so I think it's a great choice. I think there are a lot of guys. This has come up for me a bunch this offseason. You think, like, hey, did Dallas do enough? You know, how much better will the Titans be? Like, I think some of these teams, you can look at them and say, look, there was room for a lot of improvement. You know, one draft, one free agency, one, kind of one swing at the bat is not going to change it all. And so, you know, with that being the case, you know, I think that there are things, whether it's the offensive line got a little bit better, the run game got a little bit better. Look at the tight ends. You know, they became a little more well-balanced. Like, defensively, you know, just able to do, you know, other, you know, just be able to get off the field more, find ways to get a stop. So, like, I think all of those things end up being the factor. But if I'm really going to sit there and say, hey, like, what was the biggest difference for Jalen Hurts? You know, the biggest difference for Jalen Hurts was Saquon Barkley. Like, that was the biggest difference. So, like, to me, an elite runner is what changes it the most for a quarterback.
And we were talking about Tony Pollard, Tim, and he's rushed for 1,000 yards each of the past 3 years. Only two other running backs in the NFL can say that in terms of active streaks, Derrick Henry and Najee Harris. But we were also talking about the need for more Tajay Spears. He dealt with injuries of his own, but he carried the ball, I believe, an average of 7 times per game. Tony Pollard was in the 16-17 carry per game range. I agree with you about the running game. I'm wondering if a lot of that has to do with Tajay Spears emerging and maybe taking a little bit off of Tony Pollard's plate.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, you say more of an even split. Is that because,
or closer? Not, I wouldn't say 50-50, but
it needs to be more than what it was, because last year Spears had 84 carries.
And Tony Pollard was upwards of 260.
Exactly. I think that needs to be, Spears need to have over 100 carries. That, in my opinion.
Because you think he's in, and I think that's part of, you know, I said the running back position. It's like, you know, I think there's, like, who, like, in the room there, who, which back do you think should have more carries? Think Pollard should have more carries? Do you think Spears should have more carries? Like, I would say I think Pollard does.
Yes.
But, you know, and so I'm fine with the, you know, 260 to under 100. Like, I think I am. But look, there was a time where Tony Pollard was the guy when he got carries in Dallas. He said, man, like, there's just so much more energy when that guy carries the football. Like, there's a different burst when he carries the football. And they had a really good back in Ezekiel Elliott when that was the case. So, look, that maybe that flips. You know, maybe that changes this season. Maybe that is the X factor. But I do think, like, when, in terms of the run game, I think having, you know, something dynamic happen in the run game, you know, helps the quarterback the most. The two teams with the most, you know, most rushes of 10 yards or more in the NFL, the Baltimore Ravens and the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, like, that's, and I think when you look at the season their quarterbacks had, and I think when you look at just their run game in general, like, that should be what everybody's aspiring to, because I think it helps the quarterback.
Tim, yesterday we were talking about Kyle Pitts, because there have been some reports that the Falcons are taking calls on Kyle Pitts, meaning teams are calling them and they're picking up. I find his career trajectory to be quite fascinating, because he had a huge rookie season, 1,000 receiving yards right off the jump in his first season. But over the past few years, he's been phased out of the Falcons offense. Last season, he was, I think, the fourth most used target, I guess you could say, behind Drake London and Darnell Mooney and Bijan Robinson. His target share was way, way down. And I'm curious for your opinion on Kyle Pitts, because he's still a young player. We know that if you are building a tight end from the ground up, it probably looks like Kyle Pitts, right? 6'6", 250 pounds, explosive. It just doesn't seem – it seems like things are trending the wrong way in Atlanta. What do you see as Kyle Pitts' trajectory from here, and do you think he would benefit from a change of scenery?
I believe he would benefit from a change of scenery. You know, the sense I get on Pitts is, like, the details are where he's lacking, right? And so, like, he has the ability. You mentioned it in terms of, like, what he looks like, all that stuff. And then even the fact that he's had a 1,000-yard season. Where he's, I think, lacking is, like, the details of knowing the position. I think he's been called out for this, you know, kind of subtly by various people in the organization, where, like, I'm trying to think of a tight end who maybe, listen, is good physically, but not Kyle Pitts, but, like, he's a technician, right? Like, he's a master of the craft. You know, it's like the it's like the receiver that doesn't have the best 40 time, or, you know, isn't the tallest, you know, or any of that, but, man, he just got a great feel and knack to get open. You know, like, Pitts, like, is lacking that in my estimation. And so, yeah, I do think sometimes a change of scenery to be like, hey, like, this isn't working here. And, like, when you look at what the market is for you, like, you know, maybe you need to reevaluate where you are. That's where I think he is. I think, is he talented enough and young enough to turn into still one of the best tight ends? I do. I think he's all of that. But I think that something needs to click in terms of, like, being a pro and understanding the details of playing the position.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, what do you make of this Stephon Diggs stuff? I know that New England wants to put it back behind them as quickly as possible. You know, we heard Mike Vrabel with his quick response to a question that was asked of him. But that was a week ago. How do you think they proceed with all of this? Because to me, I don't see anything wrong with what he's doing. That wasn't powder in the bag, people. It was more of gummies, but it wasn't powder. But what do you think that What do you think New England does moving forward with this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think you, like, Mace, you know how this is. Like, okay, Stephon Diggs has been in the league a while now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got money. He's going to make his own decisions. He's a grown man, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Mike Vrabel, you know, can't give him a 10-15 curfew, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not the reality of it. Now, what you can do is you can kind of implore to your team of like, hey, like, let's be good representatives of this organization. Let's make good and smart decisions in terms of how we're spending our free time, how we're taking care of our bodies, you know, what we're doing to prepare ourselves, you know, to not have distractions, all the stuff, right? Like, I think most organizations preach that. I think most locker rooms, I think, present that type of maturity because guys want to play as long as they can possibly play. And then I think there's always a segment of the players that make up the National Football League. They're going to do whatever the heck they want, no matter what. And Stephon Diggs kind of strikes me as a guy that's going to do whatever the heck he wants, whenever he wants to do it, right? Like, yeah. And so I don't know. Like, it really doesn't matter if you or I think what he's doing is right or wrong, mm-hmm. or any of that stuff. He's going to do whatever he wants to do, and it just comes a point where, you know, the Patriots have to make a decision. Is he a good enough player that we just deal with it? Because there's a saying in the NFL, be who you can afford to be.
Yes.
And if Stephon Diggs was a college free agent, he'd be cut. But because he's not, like, he's still on their roster, and they're probably going to try to smooth things out.
Now, of these players that have moved on to new homes, Davante Adams, Joey Bosa, Evan Ingram, Justin Fields, Daniel Jones, and there are a few more, Deebo Samuel, Carl Pickens. Which one of these sort of moves do you believe has the potential to either be a great move or have the potential to be a move where it may just alter your locker room and not in a good way?
So, like, the ones on the good move, like, I'll give you an example. Like, mm-hmm. I think the quarterback moves, there's a really good chance that, like, they found like you could argue that Daniel Jones, like, maybe they find their starter, mm-hmm. just like with Justin Fields. Like, I think it's a long shot for probably both, maybe more so for Fields, but, like, so to me, that those don't have, like, even in Indy, those don't feel like they would be, you know, locker room shattering or anything like that. The one that I think can be locker room disruptive would be Pickens, mm-hmm. because he already has a track record of maybe, you know, not kind of handling things as a pro. He's going to a team where, you know, the opposite receiver probably is expecting to catch well over 100 balls this year. That typically is a bad mixture for a guy that thinks he's a number one wide receiver and maybe doesn't always present with the maturity that you would want, you know, a guy that's playing in the NFL to show.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. Tim, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll chat next week.
Sounds good. See you, fellas.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck on the program. 615-737-1025. I thought it was interesting what he was talking about with the running backs. Mm-hmm. I do want to follow up on that quickly. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.